A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. On Peter's arrival at Caesarea, Cornelius, a centurion of the Roman court, met him, and falling at his feet, worshipped him. But Peter made him get up and say, "Stand up, I am only a mortal." Then Peter began to speak to those assembled in the house of Cornelius. "I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." While Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon him and all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard him speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They invited him to stay for several days. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus told his disciples, "Just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I tell you all of this so that you may have joy and that your joy may be complete. Now this is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. There is no greater love than the love of one who lays down his life for his friend. I do not call you servants because the servant doesn't know what the master does. I do call you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have learned from my Father in heaven. You did not choose me. I chose you. And now I send you forth to bear fruit, and your fruit will endure, and whatever you ask God in my name, God will give that to you. What I command you is that you love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. A few months ago, Pope Benedict took the opportunity to write to the churches throughout the world for the first time. To write a letter of encouragement and to write a letter of instruction. And he took the reading, the second reading from today's liturgy, the reading from the first letter of John, as the basis for that instruction. And at the very beginning of his letter, he said, "God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." These words from the first letter of John express with remarkable clarity the very heart, the very center, the very core of Christian faith. They present the image of God and the image of the human being and the destiny of the human being. And in the same verse, St. John also offers a summary of the totality of the Christian life. We have come to know and to believe in the love that God has for us. You and I are called to love our neighbor. The love that John speaks about has got nothing to do with feelings. It's got nothing to do with emotion. It has everything to do with choice. The love of which John speaks is that radical choice by which one person chooses the good of his neighbor over and above his own needs and desires. It is the love which allows a person to put the neighbor first. And paradoxically, what happens is that in loving my neighbor that way, I come to an appreciation of who God is, and I come to an appreciation of the love that God has for me. You can't get there, though, without loving the neighbor. You can't end up loving the God that we do not see if we cannot love the neighbor we do. And in time, we begin to see in the neighbor's face the very image of God. We come to more deeply appreciate that that same image of God is what fills us. Now, the story of Christian holiness, the story of what it is to be a holy person, is summed up in simply that. That in loving one's neighbor, one abides in the love of God. And every single saint is and has been a vivid example of that kind of love. You can't get to God without first getting to your neighbor. And those hundreds and thousands and millions of saints of God each show in a remarkable and unique manner what it is that the love of God has accomplished in their lives. Well, I want to tell you just about one of those people. This gentleman was born in the year 1901. He was born in Italy, in the city of Turin. His father was a newspaper publisher, and his mother was a great artist. The King of Italy, Victor Emmanuel III, had purchased paintings from this woman to hang in the palace. This was the first child born to the Frascati family, and his name was Giorgio. Giorgio was an everyday, ordinary, garden variety child. He loved to play. He found school difficult. His father became the Italian ambassador to Berlin, and Giorgio was made to write a letter to his father each week. And we have some of those letters, and in one of those letters, Giorgio said, I hope everything goes well with you, Papa. I promise not to beat up my sister so much. There was a remarkable quality about Giorgio, though. From the very beginning, he had an uncanny sense of solidarity with the people around him, and especially those who lived on the margin, or those who were poor, or those who were exploited. From the day he received his first communion, he grew visibly in his commitment to his neighbor. His parents found this a little bit distracting, and they thought that he was becoming too withdrawn from them and too concerned about others, especially those who were not of their social standing. But Giorgio persisted, and he spent a great deal of time caring for the sick. Giorgio was also an athletic young man. He played sports. He especially loved mountain climbing. He had a great personality, and he was like a Pied Piper, had many, many friends who gathered around him. And he would proposition those friends into coming with him as he served the sick and the poor. As he grew older, he began to understand that the workers of Turin were being exploited, and they struggled to form trade unions that would grant them some measure of dignity and the ability to bargain. And Giorgio took to the streets, and he and other young people from the university allied themselves with the workers as they sought justice. Giorgio died at the age of 24. While caring for the sick, he contracted polio, and in 6 days, he died, and a very painful death. His parents were absolutely amazed on the day of his funeral. They expected that their family and their friends and their neighbors would come to mourn the loss of Giorgio, but they were not expecting to see the streets of Turin lined with tens of thousands of people. People they did not know. People whom Giorgio had served in one way or another. People who were his family, if you will. The men and women, the workers of the city of Turin, the sick, the suffering, those who lived on the margin. When Giorgio Frascati was declared blessed, it was said of him that he was a person of the Beatitudes, that it was the Beatitudes which ruled his life. He is also the first person to be declared a saint who built his life on the social teaching of the Church. The writings of Pope Leo XIII, especially the writings on the dignity of the worker, were contemporary writings with him and fueled his soul and fueled his heart. Giorgio was a very ordinary man, and yet he learned that in the love of one's neighbor, he would discover the very face of God. This morning, you come to communion for the first time. And in a very, very, very special way, Jesus comes to be with you. And in doing that, in a very special way, he helps you to serve your neighbor, to show love to members of your family and your friends, to think about other people before I think about myself. That's what he helps us do. He helps us become holy people. And when that happens, all of a sudden, the love of God becomes present to you. Do adults tell you that God is watching you? They do. They always do that to boys. My mom did that to me, and I thought that she told me that because she couldn't control me. And the neighbors couldn't control me, and the police department couldn't control me. But when I got to be an adult, I began to realize that the reason she told me that is that God loves you, God watches you, God keeps his eyes on you, and every single one of us, because God loves you so much that God can't stop looking at you. That's why God looks at you. And that's the gift. The gift of the love of God that brings life to every single one of us. But the only way we can live that life is by loving our neighbor. And so that's what he tells us to do. He says to his friends, love one another just like I have loved you. It is in the sacrament of Eucharist and, first of all, in the sacrament of baptism that you and I were called to live that life. And so I invite you to join with me as today we profess our faith in Jesus Christ, that we renew the promises of our own baptism. Please stand.
Credo, credo, amen.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth?
Credo, credo, amen.
You believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who was born of the Virgin Mary, was crucified, died, and was buried, was raised to life on the third day, and is seated at the right hand of God. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting?